If you need Chinese translation, 如果你需要普通话翻译，我们有。要不要？要吗？有那个，已经有吗？他还没有。张明， until God gives you the gift of interpretation of tongues, maybe you have to have 翻译。Oh, while I'm listening to that, I have to tell you what happened on the way home. We are going to look at the, we are going to look at the word of the Lord this morning. I was on a Delta. It was Delta all the way, but it was a partner with Korean Air. And partway through the Delta flight, suddenly someone, obviously Korean, but speaking English, it came over the loudspeaker in the whole plane. I thought, and I looked around, I thought, somebody's listening to their phone. It was the whole plane, airplane. I thought, what is going on? And then I heard the words, I have loved you for a long time. Will you marry me? And it was a marriage proposal. And then all the flight attendants clapped, so I think she said yes. So how many of you have experienced that before on a flight? Yeah? It was definitely a first time for me, but it was quite precious. It was quite sweet. If you take part in the summer English camp, you might hear something like that too. Okay, they're getting it worked out over there. Grab your Bibles. Acts 2, Acts 10, and one more chapter. You know who we're talking about, right? What you should know about the Holy Spirit. In my great mercy last week, I told you there were 3 points. I only gave you one. Weren't you glad? You were so afraid that 10 minutes till 12, I was going to also give you points 2 and points 3, and I didn't do that. But we do, I want us to return to this today. We've been focusing on the Holy Spirit, and especially His work, how He's working. There's so much more we could talk about than we have looked at, but it's so important for us as Christians. The work of the Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit, the all of this about the Holy Spirit is not a doctrine of a church. It is not related to a denomination. It is not optional. The Holy Spirit and His work in our lives and in the church, brothers and sisters, it is essential for us. We must give room and give space to the Holy Spirit. Why? Because Jesus did. Jesus said so. And so as we began last week talking about this, I said there were 3 points. And the first one, that was the only one we looked at last week, was He's in charge. Very simple. We're looking at Acts chapter 2 and Acts chapter 10. The two times in the history of the church when we see a great outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the Jews first, and then 8 to 10 years later on Gentiles. So the first one, Peter and all the other disciples and the followers of Jesus, 120 people on the day of Pentecost, and then a mirror passage. There are many other places in the book of Acts where the Holy Spirit shows Himself, where He is given as a gift that's been promised. But Acts 2 and Acts 10 are the two mirror passages. And we learn so much from looking at these two. So as I said, the second one is 8 to 10 years later, not in Jerusalem, but in Caesarea, which was the head of Roman government and the head of the Roman military in all of Palestine at that time. What a strange place for God to pour out the Holy Spirit upon a bunch of Romans, a bunch of Italians, and maybe others as well. But Cornelius likely was Italian. So we learn so much. So the first one is, he's in charge. He's in charge. So just a quick reminder as we go on to points two and point three this morning. Remember that as the disciples are walking with Jesus, they have seen Jesus completely in charge, right? Remember, he walks on water. He has mastery over a storm. He speaks to winds and he tells the winds, stop, be still. He apparently has mastery over location as well, because in the power of the Holy Spirit, not Jesus the man by himself, not Jesus the Son of God working as the Son of God, but Jesus, a man like you and like me, full of the Holy Spirit, perfectly full, perfectly in alignment with God's word, had control, had charge over location, over time. Remember, they were in the middle of the lake. I wish this would happen to me when I'm in the U.S. and I want to get back to Hong Kong. Jesus told the winds and the waves, be still. And then remember what the Bible says? And then immediately they were at their destination. How I wanted that before I traveled 28 hours on the plane. But haven't seen that happen. But Jesus was in charge. He was in charge. He was in charge over provision. There were 5 loaves and 2 fish and thousands of hungry people. And Jesus took the bread and the fish and he broke it. He thanked God. So hard for us, isn't it? You and I, in tough circumstances, so often we find it very difficult to thank God, don't we? Have you ever thanked God for what you have, even when it is not enough, and then watched him multiply so that you have what you need and more than enough? That's what Jesus did, completely in charge. He was in charge of the disciples as well. They'd say, Master, let's do this, let's do that. And Jesus would say, you don't know what you're talking about. Remember what he told Peter when Peter said, oh, Master, don't talk like that. And Jesus said, stop it, Satan, get behind me. He was always in charge. And then the time came when he was going to leave. And he said, and now somebody else is going to be in charge, the Holy Spirit, the counselor, but he's just like me. So just a reminder, John 14:26, when the Holy Spirit comes, he will teach you all things and he'll remind you of everything I've said to you. The Holy Spirit is your best teacher. You may love certain teachers in the church world, but have you found, if you've been looking recently at the church world, teachers that we have respected and admired have failed and have fallen. The Holy Spirit will never fail. The Holy Spirit will never fall. He's your best teacher. He's your best teacher. And then Jesus said, John 16:8, when he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin, righteousness, and judgment. So let me ask you something just a minute. Parents with your kids, others with your friends, whatever. Have you ever tried to convict someone who's bad, who's doing wrong? You try to make them, you feel you shouldn't be doing that. Have you ever tried to convict somebody of sin and righteousness and judgment? Miriam, how did that work? It didn't, did it? No. Miriam's really honest. She's going, yeah, I tried it. So did I. It doesn't work. You know why? That's the Holy Spirit's job. He's in charge of that. And what you and I do is pray. And if God says speak, we speak. But otherwise, we just pray, right? And we live. And so Jesus says, this is his job. He'll convict the world of guilt. John 16:13, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. We live in times when it's hard to know what's true, right? All you have to do is look at what's going on in the news. And the whole rise of AI, right? Of artificial intelligence. Is that a person? Is that not a person? When I was coming back on, as I told you, on the Delta flight, I don't remember if it was the Delta flight or the Incheon to Hong Kong. Instead of having a person in front saying, here, put on your safety belt in this way, here, when it goes down, do this, I am so sorry. There was a creepy, it was creepy, a creepy AI figure on the screen. And I looked and I thought, is that a person? Well, very beautiful, perfect skin. What? It was AI, right? It was AI generated. We see things like that. It's hard to know what's true and what's not true, what's real and what's not real, isn't it? Now, that's just a little example, which does not affect our lives and eternal destiny. But I can tell you that your enemy is in the business of trying to deceive you with lies and half-truths all the time. All the time. But the Holy Spirit, when he's in charge, he's going to lead you into all truth. So this is what Jesus says. And then he says, right before he leaves, the last thing, not go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. That was part of it. But the very last thing was, you wait. And in a few days, you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you'll be my witnesses, and you'll go here, here, here. You'll go everywhere because he's in charge. The Holy Spirit is going to do this. We see, there it is, Acts 1:8. We know this so well, so, so well. You'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem. I want to remind you, I think you know this, but I want to remind you that the word witness here means, what does it mean? Martyr. It means martyr. It has to do with our lives. We think it is talk, talk, talk. Let me tell you about Jesus. Your strongest witness, my strongest witness, is not talk, 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 but live, live, live. I cannot live, live, live by myself. I have to have the power of the Holy Spirit, or else you're going to see me. You're going to see me, and that's not good enough. And Jesus says, when he comes, you will be my witnesses. You'll receive power. You'll receive power. We'll talk about this a little bit more. Stephen reminded us of the verse this morning from Isaiah 40, right? They that wait upon the Lord, they will renew their strength. Renew here is not just to be recharged, like putting in a sticking, you know, like a Tesla. Some of you have Teslas, right? You plug it in and it recharges. But it actually means exchange. So the weakness and your lack that you have is exchanged for power and strength that comes from God. I need that, don't you? There was no amen. Nevertheless, that is true. Okay, thank you for the half-hearted amen. Nevertheless, it's true. Okay, so he's in charge, and we saw that in Acts chapter 2. Jesus, how many of you want to know exact time? When is something going to happen, right? I want to know when it's going to be. Look at what Jesus did to these disciples. He said, wait in Jerusalem, and in a short while. What is a short while to you? 20 minutes. They waited how many days? It was about 10 days, but they didn't know how long it was going to be, did they? Why did Jesus do that? Because he had a timing. He was in charge. Folks, he's in charge. Some of us are waiting for the answer. God, why are you so slow? Why don't you hurry? God's in charge. It's his timing. It's his timing. And so we saw that in Acts chapter 2. And then we saw that in Acts chapter 10 as well, when Peter's getting ready to go to Cornelius. We looked at this last week, but just a reminder, Peter's had this vision three times because he's hard-headed, he's stubborn, it's hard to convince him that God's going to do something differently than what he has done before. And the Spirit said to him, Simon, get up, go downstairs, don't hesitate, I have sent them, go with them. So he is in, we see that he's in charge. Amen. So then we go a little bit further, and I want you to see one other, just a reminder as well of this. Peter goes to Cornelius' house. He finds people inside, and then he says, God has shown me that I should not call any man impure or unclean. So when I was sent for, I came without raising any objection. May I ask why you sent for me? I believe so many times the Lord is speaking to us, but we're so used to thinking a certain way that we don't hear what God is saying to us. But when he's in charge, he can change our thinking. He can change our direction. He can change our agenda. That's what he does. So let's move on then this morning in the time that we have. Point number two. So the first one, he's in charge. Point number two, and I thought about this one a long time. I thought, Lord, how do I say it? How do I phrase it? I really did. And this is the best I could do. I think it's from the Lord. The Holy Spirit conforms. Now you're looking at this and you're thinking, what does that mean? We'll look at it. Let's talk about it together. The Holy Spirit conforms. Let me give you an example. Okay? Here's a scripture that will help us see. The Holy Spirit's poured out. People begin speaking in other tongues, in other languages they do not know. And everybody is standing around amazed because they hear people praising God. And they're saying, what's going on? Some people are mocking. Other people are trying to figure out what is happening. And then look at what Peter says. He says, pay attention. These people are not drunk. 9 o'clock in the morning is much too early for that. Now, look with me at verse 16 and following. No, what you see was predicted long ago by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit upon all people. Your son, you want to read it with me? Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. In those days, I will pour out my spirit even on my servants, men and women alike, and they will prophesy. Prophesy here means inspired teaching, okay? Inspired, anointed teaching, although it can refer to the future. So when I say the Holy Spirit conforms, that was the point, and then we read this passage, what does it mean? What it means is this: God the Father, God the Spirit, God the Son, and the inspired Word of God, inspired and written by the Holy Spirit through humans, will always conform. They will always fit together. I've told you before, there are all sorts of, how many of you have seen weird and wacky things going on in church at times? Oh, and you know what people say? Oh, God's doing a new thing. How many of you ever heard that before? God's doing a new thing. Now, the Bible says that, but that's not what it means. The work of the Holy Spirit, listen carefully, and this will help you when weird things happen, okay? When strange things are taught. The work of the Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit, the character of the Holy Spirit conforms always, always with the revealed Word of God. The work of the Holy Spirit, if it's the Holy Spirit, is going to fit with what you read in the Word of God. Let me give you an example. And if it does not conform, it's not the Holy Spirit. It's not the Holy Spirit. Let me give you an extreme example, but a true example. I witnessed it in person. I heard it in person. This happened across the border where I used to live and work. And in one of the cities, it was somebody that had worked in the capital city with me, a godly woman, a godly, godly woman, loved God. But she got mixed up in something with some man who was also supposedly godly and was a prophet, okay? And he said, the Holy Spirit has spoken to me, and the Holy Spirit said, you see, Abraham had more than one wife. There was Sarah, and then there was Hagar, and you know, see, Jacob had more than one wife, this and this, and he convinced her that he should have another wife, and he took another wife. This was across the border, and they were all living together because the Holy Spirit said so. Listen, you know better than that, right? You're not going to fall for that, right? Y'all are looking at me like, Pastor, you are making that up. I am not making it up. I am not making it up. And it took her years to accept truth and to get out of it. It was horrible. If people say to you, the Holy Spirit said this, if it does not conform with the Word of God, if it does not conform with the Word of God, it's not the Holy Spirit. It's not the Holy Spirit. I don't care how good they sound. I don't care how spiritual they appear. If it does not conform to the Word of God, it is not the Holy Spirit. So Peter stands up and he says, you're looking at this and you think, oh, it's this, it's this, it's this. What is going on? And he says very clearly, this is what was written in Scripture. This is what was written in Scripture. His explanation and his understanding came from the inspired Word of God, brothers and sisters. And that's how you and I stay on the straight road in this world that is so messed up. You need to know your Bibles. You need to know your Bibles. It doesn't matter if I believe that when you come to Lighthouse, you get the teaching of the Word of God and it's straight. You need to know your Bibles. The Word of God says we are to discern, we are to know. You've got to know your Bible. Do you know why else you need to know your Bible? Let me give you another extra why you need to know your Bible. You need to know your Bible because when you read, sometimes you don't remember, but it's in there, and the Holy Spirit comes, and he will take what you have read, and what will he do? He'll remind you. That's what Jesus said. But if you leave your Bible closed on the desk, and just wait for Sunday when Pastor, I know she'll preach it. It won't be bad. It'll be pretty good. If that's what you're waiting for, you're going to miss the blessing of the Holy Spirit giving you the word that you need that you have read, because that's what he does. Amen? Amen. Amen? Amen. That's a little bit better. Okay, there we go. Okay, now let me show you one other passage that will help us this morning. So the Holy Spirit always fits with the Word of God, but the Holy Spirit conforms not just to the Word of God. Guess what else the Holy Spirit does? The Holy Spirit works to conform you to the Word of God. He works to make you line up with the Word of God. He works in your life to make you fit with what God says in his word. Let me give you, say, are you making this up? I'm not making it up. Let me give you an example. Peter goes to the house of Cornelius. He's never been into, listen, no joke. He's never even been in a Gentile's house before. Can you imagine that? And Peter by this time maybe is 40, 45, we don't know exactly. He's never even been inside. He goes into this Gentile's house, this Italian's, God bless you. He goes into this Italian's house, and it's full. It's full of people. It's full of people. Can you imagine? Here's Peter, holy Peter, Pastor Peter, Preacher Peter, who's never even been into a Gentile house before. And he sees them all sitting there, and guess what? Their hearts are open. They're sitting there to hear the Word of God. They're sitting there. What is God going to say through Peter? Look at what Peter says. You ready? Here's what Peter says. Then Peter began to speak, in truth, I now understand that God doesn't show favoritism, but in every nation, the person who fears him and does righteousness is acceptable to him. What happened in that moment? The Holy Spirit conformed Peter to the Word of God. What were the almost last words of Jesus? You know it. Matthew 28. Go ye into all the world and what? Preach the gospel to every creature, baptizing them. And then he also right there uses the word. Make disciples of all nations. Of all nations. You know what that word is? That word nation means non-Jews, pagans, Gentiles. But look at this. For 10 years since Jesus has been gone, he's only been preaching to Jews. He hasn't been talking to anybody else. And then, here comes this situation, and Peter is conformed by the Holy Spirit to the Word of God. And look at the word that he uses. But in every nation, same word. Same word that means pagans and Gentiles. It means non-Jews. And so the Holy Spirit's working to conform him to the Word of God. So I want to say something to us this morning. I want to ask you something this morning. Are you letting the Holy Spirit conform you to the Word of God? Are you actively cooperating with the Holy Spirit to conform you to the Word of God, to change your mind, to change your heart, and then to make a difference in your life, not just in how you think, but in how you live? Or are you and I excusing ourselves and excusing our behavior? It's just the way I am. Oh, well, I know, but the Holy Spirit's work is to conform. It's to conform. And I just want to challenge you this morning. If there are areas of your life where you are not conformed to the Word of God, I challenge you. The Holy Spirit's work is to conform you, and it's to conform me. Let me speak frankly. Here we are at Lighthouse, and we say that we are a Spirit-filled church. Are we a Spirit-filled church?
Yes.
I hope so. Are we full of the Holy Spirit? Individually, are we full of the Holy Spirit? Have we given the Holy Spirit his place in our lives? Have we said, Holy Spirit, you be in charge? Have we said and experienced, Holy Spirit, I want everything that you have for me. I want every gift that you have for me. I want every work that you have for me in my life. Have you done that? And have you kept on doing that until you experience that in your life? I want to challenge you. It is great to come to Lighthouse. I believe with all of my heart that Lighthouse is a good church. I do. I believe that. There are other good churches in Hong Kong too. There really are. Lighthouse is a good church. We feel the ministry of the Holy Spirit. We feel the presence of God this morning in this wonderful worship time. But the Holy Spirit wants to be that in your life day by day by day. You say, oh, I feel so good when I come to Lighthouse. I feel so good when I'm with other Christians who are worshiping the Lord. And that is special. But what I want to challenge you is this. The Holy Spirit wants to be that to you. It's the fellowship of the Holy Spirit in your life daily, daily. The times of worship, brothers and sisters, that we have here, praise the Lord. But do you know that the Holy Spirit wants to do that with you and in you on a daily basis? Sometimes you all wonder, and I don't know if you wonder or not. Some of you know very well what I'm doing. But have you noticed how often I will get up during worship? And y'all may think, Pastor Jennifer's interrupting our worship, as I did this morning part of the time. Sometimes I don't wait till the end. Sometimes I do it partway through. And I stop us, or I encourage us, okay, we've been singing, now keep worshiping. Now, let's praise the Lord. Let's worship in our own language, in our tongue. Brothers and sisters, this is what the Holy Spirit wants to do in our lives. And I want to challenge you. I really do. I know that the Holy Spirit wants to conform us even more in this area of our lives, individually and as a church. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Have I offended you? If I've offended you, come talk to me and we'll talk about it further. I want this for myself as well. I do. I want this for myself. And I know that the Lord wants this. I know that the Lord wants this for us as a church, I see that we are only going to get to point two this morning. Shall we do point three next week, or do you want to sit another half hour for point three? Let me give you a couple more scriptures, and then we'll stop, and we'll have one more, and we'll have the third and final point next week. When Peter goes back after this happens, he goes back to Jerusalem, and you know what happens? All of the religious people criticize him. They really do. Look at what they say. They say, you went to a Gentile's house, you ate with them, you did this, you did that. They had not yet conformed to the word of God, right? They'd not yet conformed. So Peter starts speaking. Look at what he says, and look at how he says it. Perfect. Perfect. Peter is talking with them, and he says, well, as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit came down on them just as on us at the beginning. This is why we know that Acts 2 and Acts 10, in part, are mirror instances. Look at what he says. Verse 16. Got it? Here's the work of the Holy Spirit. Then I remembered the word of the Lord. Jesus. How, before it was written. How he said, John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. These were some of the words of Jesus right before he went back to heaven. So here's this perfect example of the Holy Spirit conforming. He conforms to the word. This is what Jesus said. In a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Well, it took 10 years for them, but he was baptized. And he says, this is what happened. So what happens? We have these experiences, right? These things happen. How does it fit with the word of God? How does it conform with the word of God? And if we get outside of things, okay, Holy Spirit, bring me back. If we haven't reached the measure yet, then we say, Holy Spirit, bring me up to your measure. That's what we do, right? All of us, all of us. Not my measure. I'm as human as you are. I'm as human as you are, but God's measure. God's measure. And the work of the Holy Spirit is to get us to that. Hallelujah. And then we finish out this passage and we'll close for this morning. And then Peter says, and since God gave these Gentiles the same gift he gave us when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I to stand in God's way? Amen. Are you standing in God's way this morning? You say, well, I'm not hindering anybody else. Are you hindering yourself? Are you hindering? I mean that. Are you hindering yourself? When the others heard this, they were conformed to the word of God by the Holy Spirit. They stopped objecting and began praising God. That's what we want. That's what the Holy Spirit does. Amen? Amen. 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 We're going to stop here for today. We're going to pick this up next week, and we have to finish it next week because it's one point, okay? But I next week's is great. It's great. All of these, I think, are the Holy Spirit's been speaking to us, but we'll look at one more point next week. But I want us to close this morning, and I just want to, here's the question for us as we close in prayer this morning. Wherever you are, whatever your level in God this morning, here's the question. Are you and I, are we being conformed to what the Holy Spirit's doing? Because he conforms us to the word of God. And if not, it's not for me to say, oh, you are this or you are that. The Holy Spirit is the one who teaches us. And so I'm going to invite you right now to ask the Holy Spirit in our lives to conform us where we need to be conformed. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you so much for sending Jesus. God, Jesus, we thank you so much for sending the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we're so glad that you live in our hearts. You work and you walk among us. I pray that we would accept your work of conforming us to the word that you inspired, making us like Jesus, equipping us, empowering us, bringing good fruit out of our lives, making us holy where we are, where we really struggle in some areas of our lives, making us open to your work in our lives and to the filling, your filling and your baptizing of us. We open our hearts to you and we ask you to conform us, O Holy Spirit. Be in charge and we will obey. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. 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 God bless you. Let me give you about 5 minutes, and then, shall we say, in 5 minutes, head over here, okay?